But in Psalm 27, just really a simple devotional thought was quite helpful. I mentioned I met a couple people in Tim Hortons the other day, and I spent several hours with them until early in the morning just preaching Christ. And one of the first passages I used to encourage the young lady was Psalm 27. You know, and I was just, she explained me her situation and her problem, and I just said, "Are you a believer?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Now, really, are you born again?" He said, "Yes." And so I took the Word of God, and I said, "Read aloud Psalm 27. And you know, it's amazing how clear the Bible is in situation, how much power it really is, and that if you really believe what the Word of God says, man, it just helps. I mean, it just, it's an amazing thing, you know, but several things here in this psalm here that they really helped me, and I hope to be encouragement to you. But in Psalm 27, in verse number 1, the Word of God says, first of all, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And I know we looked at this in different ways before, but in verse 1, basically, you know, of course, David was known to be the man after God's own heart. And if you read the Psalms, one thing you realize about David, not only did he love God, but he also had many battles. And battles certainly placed before you not an opportunity to be afraid. Life situations can cause us to be afraid in so many different ways. I find in my own life that one moment there's great boldness to move the mountain, and the next moment, what's that sound in the night? You know, the smallest thing sometimes can cause you to be terribly afraid. But in this psalm here, it's amazing because I noticed several different things here. I alliterate sometimes, but I was amazed just as I meditated on this, how many things were alliterated that actually that the Lord, that because of him, we don't need to be afraid of. First thing, what we see in here, reading verse 1 again, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Okay, if the Lord's your light, that means what darkness could really be greater than the light? I mean, God is that light. I mean, we talk about dark times, but if we really think about the fact that the Lord is my light, what dark situation can make me afraid? And he also my salvation. And if you understand he's your salvation, then he poses the question, whom shall I fear? Okay, God is light, so God's light is greater than any darkness. God's my salvation, so he's my rescue. That means those that would destroy me, he's my rescue. And then he says, whom shall I be afraid when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me? Now, I like David, because David seemed to be like a real person, you know. As godly as he was, as powerful as he was like a real person. And he, the way he describes people coming after him, this is like a real, this is not like somebody kind of looking you over because they don't like you. he said, "The wicked, they came upon me to eat my flesh." Now that sounds, that's some hardcore enemies. You know what I'm saying? That's not somebody just doesn't like you, but you know, just imagine somebody, I mean, can you imagine somebody not liking you so much that, you know, I mean, it's taking a bite out of you. That's what he did with Stephen, you know, in the Bible. They gnash one with their teeth. That's a pretty tough character. But he says here, "But when the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. You know, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear." And go to Proverbs 24 just again. We're going to come right back here. But I brought this verse out last week, but I really want to bring it out again. In Proverbs 24 and verse 15 and 16, I've made mention of this verse often, but I've been meditating this verse all week long. But in Proverbs 24 and verse 15, we'll go right back to Psalm 27. and then we'll sail through the points here. In Proverbs 24, verse number 15, it says, "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Now, I've quoted often, and even as I illustrated, mentioned last week, you know, this verse really can be used as a verse of encouragement. A just man does fall seven times, and he rises up, and God understands that you and I, that we're going to fall sometimes. But if you really take the context where this is written, God is saying, God is warning wicked people. It's the reality of the power of a righteous person. He says, "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of a righteous." He says, don't you go against the righteous people. "For a just man falleth times." Yeah, you may go against them, but you just can't stop them. "For a just man falleth times, rise up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief." And so he's a warning here. Don't make your plans and schemes. Don't wait to try to ensnare and attack wicked people, because they will get back up. And we need to really understand that. And that's true. Anybody here saved, fallen before, and you're here today? Amen. I mean, a just man fall and rise up again, you know. And we shouldn't be surprised when we fall. But guess what? We should also not be surprised when we get up. Amen. Because that's God's plan. But it says here, back in Psalm 27, that when the wicked came against my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Again, we point out their harsh enemies. Now, I wrote down several things in the Bible that if the Lord is on my light, my salvation, I should not fear. We read it already. Number one, we shouldn't fear our foes. The Bible says right here, we shouldn't fear our foes. Now, whoever your enemies are, don't fear them. Don't fear your foes, because the Lord's your light and your salvation. God saves, right? I mean, God's a great deliverer. And now, you may have some foes. Anybody feel like you have any enemies today? And hopefully it's not the person beside you. But but has any of those enemies, you got some for everybody? But even any of those enemies, you feel like going to come, like, bite your flesh off? I mean, they may go against your reputation, your earthly situation, but God says, don't be afraid of those foes. Because David says, people that enraged, of that, when it came upon, they stumbled and fell. You know, when people came against the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the place where they crucified him, they thought they finally got what they wanted. But he raised from the dead. Amen. Can you imagine some of those Pharisees and those Sadducees thinking, man, we got rid of him finally. Now we can have control over religion again. Now that Jesus is gone, the miracles have ceased, the power is gone. So everybody will look to us and our wisdom and our strength and to help them. And they will worship us and praise us instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they thought they had him, and even thought they totally destroyed his flesh. And he was so secure in his power, he said, I'll just stay dead one day. Let them get their confidence built up. Let them say 2 days. Let them get more confidence. Let them say 3 days. And the Bible says he spoiled them openly. He let everybody know in advance how he's going to do it, you know, and everybody, and there's probably something that's wondered, you know, and I used to like to think of this, you know, the stone rolling away for you to hear the priest and great power, the stone rolled away. But I just don't really feel like it was really much of a battle, you know, like sometimes if you ever had little children and you arm wrestle with them, you know, and you play around with them, you go, you kind of act like it's like they're hitting it, and then all of a sudden you just, I can't take it, and you go, boom. And they're like, whoa, what happened? I thought I was winning. You know, that's if you're the kind of person like me that sometimes just like to show a little power there. But our Savior, he couldn't clearly more said it. So don't be afraid of your foes. Now, this one's going to help you. I think they all will, but I want you to listen very carefully. Don't be afraid of your failure. You know, accomplished people sometimes fear their own failures. You know, I was thinking in my life, one thing that holds me in neutral often, a lot of people think I'm just this super confident person, and I am in some ways, but sometimes I'm locked in neutral because, man, I don't want to mess that up, you know. And sometimes failure drives you to be a perfectionist. I know when I play sports, you know, I didn't want to fail, so I was driven to be that way. But, you know, God says you're not supposed to fear anything except but Him. You know, everybody in this room is required by God to be found what? Faithful. Okay, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So that you, each one of us is required to step into those situations where the only thing we can see is God. The only thing we can believe in is God. And Satan loves to throw before you men, well, what if this and what if that? And what if you don't do it right? And what if you fail? What will they think? What will he think, she think? And, well, the most important, what will God think? You know what God will think if you fail? That's my child and I love him. And he said, that's my child that I love, that I gave the power to get back up. Just like when you ever try to teach a kid riding a bicycle, you know, and they fall over, you don't say, what are you doing? No, you help the kid up, don't you? I hope you do, amen. But our Father, don't fear failure. You know, maybe you failed before, and all of us have. I think it's in some time or something. But, yeah, but you know, a lot of our failures are things that God never asked us to do anyway. And sometimes we get frustrated and we think, man, I failed with this, failed with that, you know, but then you look back and, well, you know, God never asked me to do that, so is it any really surprise that I did fail? Because it wasn't God's plan for me to do that anyway, you know, and so, but don't fear failure. And this, the next one is for those that would witness for Jesus Christ's sake. Don't fear faces. Remember he said, in Jeremiah, he said, be not afraid of their faces. You know, maybe it's Ezekiel, one of the prophets, but it goes for all of them. You know, so often when we go to witness to people and the Spirit of God leans on our heart to go talk to somebody, I'm not telling you we just want to get in somebody's face, but I mean, there's times when you know that the Spirit of God says, well, they need Christ, and I've got the answer. And you can be heading that direction, all of a sudden you see that face, and you're like, ooh. And you men, if you ever start preaching, some of those faces sometimes, you're like, whoa. But don't be moved by their faces. Don't fear their faces. Why? Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. The people, again, when the Spirit of God is leading you to go witness somebody and you want to go help them, don't be moved by their faces because the Lord is your light. If the Lord is your light, then His light is greater than whatever dark face they may show at you. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so I should not fear my foes, my failure, faces. I should not fear the future. I should not fear the future. A lot of people ought to make a lot of rash decisions because they're afraid of the future. They have no idea what to do, so we do this and do that. And instead of just doing, well, Lord, what? You know, Paul said it best when he got saved. Lord, what will thou have me to do? That's how you have a proper future. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Yeah, but you don't understand how things get into government. Yeah, I do. No, actually, I don't complete it because I'm not God. But I do know this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Doesn't matter who's in office. Doesn't matter who the PM is. Doesn't matter who the chief of police is. Doesn't matter who the mayor is. Doesn't matter who the manager of my apartment building is or superintendent is. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Because the Lord's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the strength of my life. So we don't need to fear our foes, our failures, our faces, our future. And we also need to fear our own families. And because Satan, God wants every family here united with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the goal, isn't it? Is that true? Amen. And but sometimes that is your some of the biggest hurdles you face is dealing with your own family members. So if you have, because God wants us to love each other. That's just even in our church family. You know, we have to do things that honor the Lord, do things that are right. We don't need to be afraid. You know, and because we if we love God, and He's our light and our salvation, then when we do that which is right, it's the best possible thing we can do for our family. Now, here's the only difficulty with that. We have to break ourselves from some of the fundamentalist mindset to where to make a strong stand for God, we have to be ugly about it and mean about it. You know, that used to make for good preaching when I was younger. You know, somebody, you take a stand for Christ and, you know, bless God, you know, I told him whatever, you know. Sounded good in the flesh, but it didn't really help anybody, you know. It's just good for me and anybody else that agreed with me. But there again, our example for everything is the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible is looking unto Jesus. Because here he is, Jesus in the service, the man has a withered hand. And they're waiting. They know he's got the power to heal. It's the Sabbath day. And they're waiting if he's going to mess up their religious service. Dylan, right now, if somebody just stood up and said, I'm lost, I need to get saved, I wouldn't care if you interrupted me one bit. It wouldn't bother me a bit. If somebody stood up and cried out, just any spiritual need whatsoever, you know, we'd stop and we'd take care of the spiritual need. You know, because that's what Christians do. And finally, the Bible, Jesus, he just looked at him. He actually looked at him with anger. He was frustrated, but he said, stretch forth thy hand. See, he didn't even do anything about those that had the issue. He just took care of the spiritual problem. You know, and again, a woman taken in adultery, no doubt, a notorious sin for that time, and carries with it the weight and a stain, not like it does today. I think I'm saying that right. It's not a big deal today. But we see for our Savior, it wasn't a big deal for him either. It was big enough that he would use his breath and his authority to say, go and sin no more. That's how big it was, because he would say that. But at the same time, it wasn't big enough to where he would be disgusted or he would be moved. See, he knew the power of his own salvation. Amen. That's a lot of time why we get uncomfortable around sinners. And like I said, we don't need to be like them, but we don't know the power of the salvation that's within us. You know, we ought to be able to sit down with anybody. You know, if Justin Trudeau walked in here today, if you're born again, you ought to, with full confidence and authority, be able to say, sir, I'm so glad to meet you. But can I tell you the greatest news that ever happened in my life? I was born again. And did I say the right name?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Y'all laughing, so I'm just wondering what's going on. But I'm not worried about your face. I just want to make sure I didn't miss something. But we should have that confidence. If the president come in, the Queen of England come in, or whoever it may be, we should be able, full of confidence and authority, that where we just share Christ. And with our families, oftentimes, you know, we don't want to lose our closeness with them. In fact, if you understand the scriptures, every single person in this room, let me tell you this right now, if you try to stand for God, the first people that will not really give you honor is your own country and your own kinsmen. That's what Jesus said, right? And so that doesn't mean they're bad people, but that's just a bridge that you have to hurdle, that you have to cross in order to walk in the faithfulness with God. The first people that we'll have contempt for his own family members. The first people that we'll not respect in their walk with God. And I've been guilty of the exact same thing. And so I'm not saying that like I've experienced a lot of stuff from my family. I'm saying that because I've been there on that side looking down, you know. So, but a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, his own kin, you know. And even our church is amazing. You know, people that come here, they love it. They come out and visit here. They talk about how great our church is. Everybody's coming to visit it. But then we have all hit and missers sometimes with here. You know, we think, okay, and people are coming. I think it's a great church. Well, why don't everybody just dig in? And so, and I don't say that to be mean or bad, but I'm just saying that in our own country, it's so easy. My pastor, Hardy, the pastor where I got saved, great man, love him, and thank God for the time he spent with me. He always said this: familiarity breeds contempt. You get used to people and you just get kind of contempt for them, you know. Let's not get used to each other in that way. You know, it happens in our marriages sometimes, and my wife confronted me early in our marriage that I'd be so patient and kind for everybody else except when I was at the home. You know, I'd go the extra mile for anybody else. You see, somebody called and I go do this, do that, and she wanted me to screw it on the cabinet, and it took me 3 weeks to do it, you know. And so, that's not the way it goes. But anyway, so don't fear your family. Just love God. If the Lord's your light and your salvation, fear God. Last of all, don't fear your flesh. And don't fear flesh in general. And that kind of comes with the, because if the Lord's your light and your salvation, now the Bible says he's given you victory in Jesus Christ. So don't be afraid of what you can't do. The Lord's your light and your salvation, of whom shall I be afraid? Don't fear flesh as far as other people coming at against you. And don't fear your own flesh like you can't do it. Because the truth is, you can't do it. But that's why he asked you to do it. Because again, we talk about Isaiah 54, verse 17. That verse says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me. So it's not your flesh that has the power anyway. It's his righteousness. So don't fear your flesh, you know. If God's called you to do something and you've hit him on, or you attempted before and you feel like you fell flat on your face with what God asked you to do, don't think about your flesh. Just think about the one that called you to do that and the one whose righteousness lives in you if you're born again, that will empower you to do that. And so if the Lord is your light and your salvation, there really is nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. Don't fear your foes. Don't fear your failures. Don't fear the faces of other people. Don't fear the future. Don't fear your family. And don't fear the flesh. Father, thank you for a few simple moments in the scriptures. May your purpose will be done in the hearts of absolutely everyone that's here. Strengthen now these precious people by the power of thy holy word. In Jesus' name, I ask this all. Amen.